Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my wild country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
It says here to take two for results in 8 hours. That means we should take eight for results in two. Yep.
With Dusty Hara.
Can't see the line, can you, Russ?
No.
And Cam Cleland.
Calm down, Greg. It's soccer. It's soccer.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080.
People don't forget.
The Fan.
All right, hour number three, Dusty and Cam in the Morning. Let's party. Coming up this hour, more of your feedback. Ducks red hot and rolling on the recruiting trail. They have the number three rated class in the country. They picked up a big commitment yesterday from four-star wide receiver Dante Thornton out of Baltimore, Maryland. Is it enough to get them over the hump? National experts are saying, the recruiting experts that is, are saying they are recruiting at a national championship level. Can the Ducks get over the top? And what is the missing piece? 503-250-1080. And is it, is Mario Cristobal and his staff, are they the guys to get it done? Because look, Texas and USC, they recruit very well as well. But they're not Bama and they're not Clemson. Dabo Swinney and Nick Saban do a great job with those programs. So we want to hear from you, 503-250-1080. But we had World Series Game 1 last night. And we talked about Clayton Kershaw earlier in the show. And Clayton Kershaw was nails on the mound. He was fantastic. But the rest of the team is what really stepped up behind him yesterday. And that was what was refreshing to see, was that it wasn't just Clayton Kershaw out there dealing. He got run support finally.
We talked about him yesterday, and I compared him to Madison Bumgarner regarding that his World Series and his postseason has been underwhelming, but his regular season has been amazing. Well, he did something last night that's never been done in a World Series. He had a 50% swing and miss rate against the Tampa Bay Rays. That's never been done by any starting pitcher in the history of the World Series, which goes to show you that the dude was locked in. Now, he had back spasm, so he had extra time to rest. His curveball looked great. His slider looked great. His fastball had a little extra zip. But I think it was that first inning was one of those tests, that test to get out of that situation with runners on second and third, and then to have that swinging hit where he fumbles the ball, bounces off the mound, and throws an absolute BB to get out of that inning. That was one of those elevations. And then also for him to sit quietly for almost a half hour while they put up four in the fifth, and then he bounced back in the sixth. You're looking, every time I see Clayton Kershaw, is six and a third. Just give me six and a third, get to the bullpen, and be okay. But finally, his dudes, they played small ball, big ball. They stole bases. Mookie Betts stole bases. They played great defense. Tucker's defense. It was the perfect baseball game. And I haven't seen a baseball game in the World Series played like that, where there wasn't mistakes. And you saw every aspect of great baseball. Pitching, defense, big ball, small ball, and Cody Bellinger toe tap celebration.
Yeah, you don't want to dislocate your shoulder again, dude. So go the opposite way. Toe
tapping. His swing reminds me of a two-handed Griffey. God, he's got so much uppercut. It's gorgeous.
Beautiful. Right. He gives what we call daddy hacks.
He lets it loose.
Yeah.
And he's so long. Like, you sit there and you look at that swing. That swing is so long and uppercut.
That's what I think about the Griffey part of it.
It just goes
loop on the back end of it.
Because he's, about what, timing. 6'4"? He's 6'4". He's got these big old long levers that he's just sitting there. Right. Whap.
And the fact is, he's timing up 96, 98. And what do you have to do? You have to start your swing as your time, like Justin Tucker, those guys, they all have timing mechanisms. You can't just wait to see the ball out of the hand. You have to trust and react, and then he just drops the barrel, and it's, I mean, exit velocity is 108 miles an hour. It's gone.
Hey, did anybody notice on that broadcast? Because when you brought up Justin Tucker, it reminded me of when Smoltz was talking about his leg kick and the timing of it and how it varies based on, you know, what he thinks is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody notice that John Smoltz is starting to sound like Troy Aikman the more and more he works with Joe Buck?
What do you mean? Like stating the obvious?
No, like their voices actually kind of sound similar at times where there's certain inflated. It was during that Justin Tucker conversation we was talking about the leg kick where I went, whoa, like that was an Aikman mannerism. He got like Joe Buck has Troy Aikman rubbing off on John Smoltz, and they're great. I love Smoltz and Buck in the booth together.
Yeah, Smoltz is great.
They have a really fun time. Yeah. But
I have not noticed that. Maybe I'll tune into that thought more. I think I could definitely tell the difference between Smoltz and Aikman.
Obviously, you can tell a difference.
But if they have the same mannerisms and like how they communicate,
there's like a you know how Aikman will do that. Like Smoltz does the same thing. Right. When he's working with Buck, it's crazy.
Right. Yeah.
But that game was a fun game to watch. Mookie Betts is worth every damn penny. You saw him making plays in the field. He robbed a home run in game 7 the night before. And then he hits a home run and then he steals second base. He was all over the base path and they were running on Zunino and Glasnow all night long. And it really, when the Glasnow even got taken out of the game, they were still moving on the base path. And he has that slide into home on the base path in the field at the plate. Mookie Betts is worth every damn penny that they're paying
him right
now.
He's been the game changer. Think what he was able to do in game 7 and game 6 with robbing those home runs.
Oof.
What defensively, he's worth every penny. Sometimes I look at it and I go, gosh, man, you pay these guys, you pay all that money, and you see Mookie Betts get that kind of money, and you only see him, what, three, four times a game at the plate, if you're lucky, but you're seeing him all over. He gets on base, then he steals, then he sets up the momentum. That's a clinic of base running. And absolutely, now you got to be fast. You got to have that kind of elite speed that he does. That was a clinic on base running. In fact, Smoltz was saying that he should have held him more on third because he got 26 feet on that jump. And what else can you do at first base when you snare that ball like that? You can't make a better play and you try to make the throw and he was safe.
When you have plus speed on there, nothing you can do.
Yeah, there's nothing more you can do. Mookie Betts is a game changer beyond belief. And I know if you're a Red Sox fan, you're going, we got rid of that guy?
Cool.
Who's only 28 years old?
Cool.
Great.
Cool.
I was really impressed with his at-bats last night. For being as talented as he is, he's super patient at the plate, working that walk that he first got. And I actually thought
Oppo
the Dodgers...
home run.
That too. Yeah. I mean, obviously he's got the talent to do that. But then it felt like the whole Dodgers lineup was trying to really press Glasnow and make him throw more pitches and get maybe even get him frustrated because they were all working really long counts.
Yep, working pitch counts, man. And now that's
discipline.
Part of your analytics.
What's part
and
of the
30
discipline
through 112 of it. Pitches.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, he was hitting in that fifth. You're going and coach was leaving him in. You're looking at that scenario. You're going, this is my guy. This is our ace. There's no chance you can take him out. But he gave up a couple runs, and you could just see it. He ran out of gas. And you could see his velo go down, too, where he was trying to pinch corners, and he wasn't getting the calls.
I remember there was a time when you used to make fun of the term velo.
Oh, I'm all in on the lingo now.
Texas, there's a video on Twitter of Mookie Betts slam dunking a basketball, bowling multiple 300 games, and running a nice football route. Dude is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is a video of him running routes.
Great
when
athlete.
He was in Boston.
I'd love to see him in a football uniform.
Hey, this postseason brought us both the number one seeds from the AL and the NL. And Rob Manfred yesterday was doing the rounds, and he said he hopes to keep the playoff format.
Great.
What do you think of that?
I think it's great.
Expanded playoff where over half the league gets in.
I think it's great. Spectacular. This has been a fun year for baseball. I know it's been shortened, but we got a 3-game series. If we have play-in games, whatever. I think it was great. How could you not want baseball to keep that part in? It gives more opportunities, and as a Mariner fan, I'm like, great. More opportunities.
I think it was great. I think it was very effective, because if you look at it, you have both of the number one seeds made it through.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
That's fine. But in the ALCS, I mean, I know that everybody hates them, but the Astros were the last wild card team in. And it was like you got a hot team at the right time. They got in. And if it wasn't a team that everybody hated, that would be a great story that everybody would go along with. But it wasn't. It was the Astros, and they were, and so everybody's like, "Oh, teams under 500 going to get in." Well, guess what? If you catch fire at the right time, man, you can make something happen with that.
It doesn't look as ugly. See, this is the difference between the NFL and Major League Baseball and also NBA basketball. There is the difference because every game matters in the NFL. You can't tell me that it would be sexy to watch a 6-10 division winner from the NFC East get into the playoffs. However, in baseball, and also in basketball, you can be an 8 seed, start to play really well, get better at the end of the year. And in baseball, everyone's like, yeah, bring in the underdog. And you could get hot, you could have good pitching, and knock off a 1 seed. That is interesting. And baseball needs to be in the interesting business.
I will hand that one over to Rye Guy from the Bay, because we know what hot teams do.
Yeah, they went 3-5.
Yeah. I mean, that's what the Giants were doing. They were ho-hum in their way through the season, and then they catch the postseason.
Yeah, they won as the wild card when Madison Bumgarner went complete game against the
Reds. Well, what was the game against the Reds? Weren't they down by like 5 runs against the Reds?
They were down 2-0 in the series, and then in the game 5, they were down 5-0, but Buster Posey grand slammed them back into it.
And then, boom, they just were invincible after that.
Right.
And so, yeah,
it does work. That's fun to watch, and baseball's doing a good job.
And could you imagine a 3-game series at the higher seeds home ballpark, all 3 games with fans in the stands?
It'd be great.
Like a next year when fans are in the stands and you have that juice, it gets that much more exciting. Yeah. And I'm all for that. The one I don't understand is he wants to keep the runner on second in extra innings.
Oh, they're trying to take out the 5.5 hours. Look, we had a game last night. It was 3 hours and 32 minutes.
That thing was, humming through the first few innings.
Huh, that's what it needs to be.
Until the Dodgers lit up glass now in the 5th inning, that game was moving fast.
I'm not going to get the curmudgeon-y side of the tradition of baseball. Let's play 16, 17 innings and ruin your pitching. You got to be willing to adjust and change. Yep. Every major sport has changed their rules. Don't hit the quarterback. Pass interference. We've changed rules in football. Basketball has changed their rules.
Well, they change their overtime rules all the time. Correct. NBA and NFL. College have both
football
changed
has adjusted
rules.
And changed. Why is baseball? Nope, can't change. It's not optimal.
Get off my porch.
It's not optimal, but if it gets the games over with, you know what? Everybody's playing under the same set of rules. Do better.
So I actually like the idea of kind of doing what hockey does and do a regular season, just make the games end quicker by putting the person on base. But playoff hockey, you got to wait till someone scores the old-fashioned way. And like, so you could go back to playoff baseball, let it be regular again, but just for the sake of the regular season and expediting games, doing the runner on second.
The hard part about that with baseball, though, is that if you get guys so used to that, it does affect you for the next night with your rotation your pitching staff. Because the worst thing that you can have in a postseason game is what we saw when, you know, the Braves got lit up by the Dodgers, and then that conversation of, well, what position player is going to be the first one to pitch? You don't want that in postseason baseball.
Do you still think I still have the Dodgers in 7. Oh, the Rays are going to have to.
I got Doyers in 6.
They're going to have to wake up bats.
Yeah.
I think the Rays are going to get this one tonight. They're going back to that Gonsolin kid, and then they're kind of doing a bullpen game. They're saying Arias and May will be available out of the pen. They've kind of rotated through those guys. May had a little bit of shakiness his last time. Gonsolin, if that's even how you say it, definitely did. I think the Rays could grab this one tonight.
But if you didn't put any jerseys on, okay, if you knew stats and stuff like that, and you lined up these guys by the Dodgers and the Rays, and just put them up next man. Would you go Mookie Betts or Diaz?
Mookie Betts.
Okay, Seager or Lau?
Lau.
Okay, Turner or Renzi?
No, I wouldn't go. By the way, I wouldn't go Seager.
Rosaria. Turner or Rosaria?
Rosaria.
Muncy or Renfro?
Muncy.
Okay, Bellinger or
Bellinger?
Oh, okay, all right. Taylor, Wendell. That's going to be Zanino in that scenario.
Taylor.
Yeah, so they just continue. The Dodgers are just head and shoulders above.
There's one guy I took.
Yeah. And this text says, not only do the Dodgers have the better lineup, but they bring maturity and experiences. They've been there before. I believe this is their year. Yeah. Go Dodgers. That's P1B Rod.
And that's what Clayton Kershaw said
from
after.
LA. P1B Rod from LA. Love you.
Slightly biased.
Yeah.
No, but that's what Kershaw was asked last night by SVP. He said, look, we've done this before. We just get one game at a time. He went full cliches. Hey, we've
God
had that.
Willing.
We've had the experience. We know how to do this before, and they have.
Well, and this is maybe the most important part of Clayton Kershaw and what he said in the post-game interviews is nobody can beat the Dodgers if they're on.
I think we are the best team, and I think our clubhouse believes that. And so, you know, there's going to be certain times where, you know, we get beat and that happens. But as a collective group, if everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing and playing the way they're supposed to, I don't see how that can happen.
Because they're just stacked. He's right. He's right. Now the pride of Seattle has to win for the Rays.
What do you mean?
Blake Snell.
Okay.
What? He's from Seattle. Isn't his dad a baseball coach at a community college up there?
I don't know. I haven't dove into it.
I think his dad is a baseball coach at one of the community colleges in Seattle. He's from Seattle. Mm. You didn't know Blake Snell's from Seattle?
I knew he was from Seattle. I didn't know anything about his dad.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great athletes from Seattle that don't play for the Mariners.
Sure.
A lot of former Mariners that are playing in the World Series every year.
Now, that would be one hell of a thing if Snell was like...
I'm going to play fun game time.
From Seattle, and they had no idea.
I'm going to play a fun game as the best starting lineup of former Mariners to have played and won a World Series.
Don't do that to yourself.
I know. It's so mentally detrimental.
Don't do that to yourself. That's a mean game to play.
I mean, I'm putting Randy Johnson on the mound. It's like he's stepping up on the mound. He's pitching my game one.
You know what team, may have you in that is the Pirates.
Really?
Yeah.
You think so?
Dude, yeah. The
Barry
Pirates
Bonds
are
is
right
your number
there.
One?
Pirates are definitely in that conversation. Yeah. Of former guys that went on to win. Yeah, it's
Dave Snell's the head baseball coach at Shoreline Community College.
And there we go.
There you go.
Very
cool.
And there we go. All right, let's get to it. Does the 2021 class for the Oregon Ducks set the table for expectations? Do you trust the staff to get them over the top? We see national experts in recruiting are now saying their Ducks are at a national championship level. Why will Oregon be Bama and not Texas or USC, where they recruit really well and just can't get over the hump? Dustin Cam on the Fan. All right, 503-250-1080. That be the Fan text line. Ducks ready to take the next step. Make that jump to a national title contender. 503-250-1080. The 2021 recruiting class is being touted as a national championship caliber class by national recruiting experts. And now we're sitting there going, what's the missing piece in Eugene? 503-250-1080.
We do have a text saying this when we were talking earlier about whether Cristobal and his staff can get the job done now that they have these recruits in-house. This one says Cristobal seems to be improving as a coach every year. Mm-hmm. Do you guys agree?
Absolutely, I agree. Absolutely. No question. You're improving every single year. Great, great attitudes. When we talk about identity of the team. Now, I wish he could be a little bit more aggressive on offense, and I hope Coach Moorhead, did we have him on the show in the spring?
Yeah.
I can't wait to watch Coach Moorhead's offense. I think it's going to be great. Now, how it operates so quickly, we'll see. But you got to let guys loose. And if that freedom of being conservative still fits into that mindset, I will question it a little bit. But if you got a good talent back there, you got to let him have it.
Let it go. Rip.
Can't be afraid.
And one thing that Joe Moorhead, when he told us when he came on here, was that, hey, I like running my quarterback. Mm-hmm. I think that's a vital part of our offense and
Absolutely.
What we can do.
You watch those guys run?
Every play is tagged with an RPO, and that's going to be an exciting thing to watch for this Oregon offense. It should be more dynamic, and I do believe Cristobal has, you know, he's learned on the fly. Remember, the guy hadn't been a head coach in a long time, and it was at Florida International was his last head coaching gig, and you don't usually see the same mistakes twice. It's not like beating your head into the door like we had with Helfrich a few times.
And this one, and I think this is an area that Cristobal has really improved, but this text says game management is the next step. They blew a couple games due to that for sure.
Can I have an example? What you think, what that example, do you guys remember
Auburn.
Was that game management?
Down the stretch with timeouts.
You let Bo Nix complete a pass, and on fourth down, that wasn't game management.
Was the second? No.
The fourth down play was embarrassing. You ran an inside zone versus nine in the box.
But it was beat. It was game management as far as clock and how much time you had left.
You can't be perfect in game management. You just got to make a play when you need to make a play. I get that text. these guys just need to step up and make a play. As good as them. There's no way a freshman quarterback should be able to throw the ball up, and you have a great secondary. Get after that. Make a play when you need to make a play, man.
I'm with you.
You ready for this one, Cam?
Okay,
the missing piece in Eugene. Nice job, you kicker! Is a kicker.
Really? Well, I mean, Washington couldn't beat you because their kicker couldn't make a kick, and you beat him in overtime, so I thought you did fine. You beat him in overtime. You went up to Washington, you beat him again. You just went down to Arizona, and you threw a couple, just threw bad interception. That was a bad interception.
Well, the Arizona State game,
yes.
The DBs couldn't stop a cold, man. I mean, they couldn't stop anything.
I understand that, but then you went in the Pac-12 championship game, you stomped a hole in Utah and then embarrassed Wisconsin because that's how you have to play week in and week out. You got to have help from this conference. If Oregon is going to be great, it needs to have the conference, number one, to showcase the talent, two, schedule it right and support how you maximize these teams, and quit hiding behind the fact of trying to make parity in this damn conference. It ain't here.
I've read great reports and reviews of the kicking game so far in camp. So maybe that missing piece is already there.
How many kickers are on scholarship in Oregon?
I don't know.
I also don't know. Probably one, maybe two.
You got two.
You think you got two? I think you got a kicker, a punter.
Right. I don't know. Punters aren't kickers, but I'm with you.
This one says the answer for Oregon is cheating. The Alabamas, Ohio States, and Clemsons of the world are all doing sketchy things in recruiting and in coaching. I don't think Cristobal will.
What?
I'll co-sign on that.
You think everybody's cheating?
Yeah.
So everybody's cheating, that's good.
Sure.
Is that the philosophy? Of course that comes from an Astros fan.
Yeah.
Guys aren't cheating. They're not, not everybody is, I don't understand what this cheating is. If you win and you're good, people show up. Nobody's lining up to work a government job when Apple's knocking on your door saying, I'm going to give you a 7-0 job. You go work for Apple. Okay, I'm not going to take the local ditch digging job. If you're good, you go to where the good people are.
You know, there's an element of this in this that, like, everybody... I think that there is something like, and I don't think it's really a bad thing, the level of cheating that happens, whether it's like $100 handshake or whatever, but everybody's like, oh yeah, it's gotta be, you gotta be cheating. You gotta be, I'm willing to subscribe to it. If that's what you believe, but also think of this, brands are important. Nike does not pay well. When you start out there, you have to work a very long time of making crap for money. Working at Nike, yet people line up around the block to work at Nike because it's Nike.
That's Phil Knight. That's the structure of how it is. You don't get to be the bottom of the pyramid and make all the money.
The same thing happens in college sports. It's like, well, how did Alabama do it? Well, it's because they're Alabama and they have Nick Saban. And when you have that brand, and this is one of the things, like the Dante Thornton, the kid that committed to Oregon, he's from Baltimore.
Okay.
He said, my dream school growing up was Oregon because he saw the flash. He saw the brand. They won games. He wanted to be a part of that when he was a child in Baltimore, Maryland.
Every college athlete that wants to play college football has one goal and one goal only. One goal and one goal only. This is the same. If you brought them all in here and told them to raise their hand, because when I stand in front of any college athlete or anything, I said, what's your goal? I'm playing the NFL. If you know a place where you can go to maximize your potential, you can be an average player at Alabama and an average player at Oregon State. You're going to get 20,000 times more of a look to play at the next level than you will at Oregon State, just for the sake of being around a brand, like you just said, of Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson. You go to where that maximizes your potential. I don't care. That's so if Oregon's going to get there, USC, Washington, or anybody, Arizona State, they have to start pumping out NFL talent, and Justin Herbert doing well. You're going to see, the number two overall pick, and that's just good what it's going to be. If he's not number one or number two, the left tackle, you're going to see understanding that. You have to maximize it. Penei Sewell is a great marketing tool. You're going to have to use it. The more and more guys that go to the NFL, watching, say what you want about UW last night, or say what you want about UW, that Monday night game, watching Arizona with Buda Baker and
Byron Murphy.
Thank you, Byron Murphy. That's a showcase for the secondary for Washington and what Jimmy Lake was able to do. That's why they've put the most defensive backs in the league, okay, in this last decade. That is part of marketing. And if you can do that, just like at Alabama, puts 12 guys in the first round, feels like, every year, or the SEC does. This is what you have to do.
This text coming in says that seeing Herbert look much better in the pros than a lot of people thought tells me everything that we all thought about about Arroyo.
Yeah.
That dude was trash. If the offense can take the next step with Moorhead and get the QB right, they finally could get over the hump.
That's a good point. I mean, that is a good point. Is like there is a stair step in how you build a program, right? And Mario Cristobal has been doing that. And I think that a lot of it was, look, you have to get talent. And in order to do that, you have to have a style of play. And
you have
now
to push the limit.
Nick Saban also did this where it's like he finally let it loose, didn't he? Offensively. And just said, we're going to go and we're going to do it. Yeah, we built up enough depth. We built up enough guys. And
can't be scared to make mistakes. And I think Nick Saban is understanding that. And a lot of the SEC teams are doing it.
The credits in the bank are there. Now you let it rip and you go and you let that offense fly. And hopefully that's what we see from Oregon this year.
I was doing some statistical research this year, and I know that we're seeing in college football, we're up almost 18 points a year on average with scoring in college football. And the NFL is up 12 points.
Wait, 18 point like per team per game?
Just on average of where we're at compared to where we were last year in the first couple weeks.
Oh, so per game.
Per game, yes. Yeah. With that kind of production going up, first of all, football's catered now to offense. Can't hit the quarterback. You can't bump the guy's wide receiver. There's pass interferences. There's holding, illegal contact, holding, targeting. All the things that we're trying to regulate out of the game or relegate out of the game are to help offense and help the interest of offense TV-wise and statistically-wise, because that's what's interesting for fans and people and all those things. If you know that going in, if you start to use that analytic moving forward, you're going to start to say, Nick Saban gave up how many points in a game? A defensive superstar. LSU won a national championship, averaging giving up almost 25 points a game. Maybe I should practice 65% offense and 40%, 435. I'm going to have to start focusing more on offense. And that's no shame to defense. It's not a shame, but you have to take advantage of the system. And the system's built for offense. Take advantage of it. Do it.
503-250-1080. We got some more of your feedback on this. Plus, Herm Edwards is off to a solid start in Tempe, but there's one thing he needs to learn. Here's Buck with SportsCenter. All right, 503-250-1080. What's the missing piece for Oregon and Eugene? National recruiting class has reached number 3 nationally. It's looking like they will be a top 10 class. Could be top 5 when she's all set and done.
Yeah, one final thought coming in on this. It says, locking up Cristobal is going to be the key to winning a championship. Yep. SEC is going to come calling probably this year. He is way underpaid for the recruits that he is bringing on and the way the program is trending.
I agree with that.
Pay that man a lot.
I don't know. I don't know what it's going to take to do that, but if this conference is lucky enough to have a star coach that's being successful nationally, the eyes of the country are going to wonder why. And they're going to come knocking, and they're going to wonder why. Okay, is it Nike? Sure. Is it Phil Knight? Sure. Is it the resources? Of course. But you've got to have some sort of talent around it. And I'm not Coach Cristobal, but I know if somebody starts knocking at my door and starts putting zeros, I may be very, very happy where I'm at. But I'm also going to pick up the phone. And I said this yesterday, P.J. Fleck is making more than every coach in the Pac-12. P.J. Fleck at Minnesota in the Big Ten is making more money than everybody else as head coaches in this conference right now. That is a travesty. That is wrong. That is a travesty, and that is wrong. That's why Scott Frost left and took the Nebraska job, because he went back home because he knew, okay, I'm at Central Florida. I need to go back where I can showcase. Okay, Nebraska will be all right. They'll get better.
Well, Nebraska's dream job for him, though.
Yeah, I understand that. So what would be Mario Cristobal's dream job? Everybody has one. It might be Oregon, folks.
The U.
It might. Could it be?
I was worried about that when they went and hired Manny Diaz.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, anytime that an alma mater job is open for a head coach, you think that could be in play.
But if that guy gets cachet behind his name and Miami still can't turn the corner, watch out. Because, I mean, or look, like, who knows what it is? Mario Cristobal says all the right things. And, you know, that guy, even when he was an assistant, he was talking about how he loved being in Eugene and he wanted to finally be in a place where his kids could stay in one spot and go to school and not bounce around and do the move all over the country thing and be really hard on the kids. But look, if one of those jobs comes calling, it's going to be hard, and the Ducks would need to pony up and get that money. But I think they would be willing to do it.
But how are they going to do that? It has to come from Phil. It's not coming from the network. It's not coming from the extra revenues. You're
privately.
20 to 30 million behind the SEC. Yeah. That's a staggering amount of money. It's going to take, if you want to talk about David Shaw being the highest paid coach, which is the reports are he's at $4.8 million. We know that Clay Helton's in the fours. Okay. We know that Mario Cristobal falls at number 10. Am I right? 10 or 11? Okay. As he sits at 2.6.
Yeah, it's right in there. Yeah.
Where is that money going to come from?
Oh, it's going to be.
He's going to have a $4 million bump.
It is the exact same place that it came from when it came time to make Chip Kelly a top 15 coach, paid coach in college.
But where did it come from?
Privately.
Pat Kilkenny? Did it come from?
From Phil, Pat, you know, privately raising that money. Yeah.
You think those guys want to pay him that kind of money?
This text says,
they want to win a championship, they do.
Maybe there's already a deal in place, but it's not being announced right now due to optics. That could be a possibility.
Yeah.
Guys, I don't think.
They gave him an extension after last year.
This is a crazy thought here. Maybe not. I don't think Phil Knight wants to pay coaches extra money. And I don't think Pat Kilkenny writes checks. I think they write checks for facilities, for all the things they give. They go to donations. They build extra things. They make Hayward Field great. They change Autzen Stadium. They add a video board. They make the weight room awesome. They add a Marcus Mariota Center training table. I don't think they're writing checks for coaches.
See, I think they're smart guys and they know.
I don't think so.
Coaches win.
Sure, but I also think that the optics of the brand means more. Like, I honestly believe that Phil Knight thinks that. Now, he might want to accelerate that because he's not getting any younger. I think those guys think the brand's bigger than the coach sometimes.
I don't know.
They went to a national championship with Mark Helfrich. What more can I tell you?
I think that the counter to that would be a lot of people would say that was on the back of what Chip Kelly did.
They still did it with Mark Helfrich,
and that
though
was worth their investment.
That's you just backed my point. Then is that you went to a national championship with what you said, Dusty, was a mistake or an average coach with a lot of mistakes towards the end of it. Which, too, you got him fired. But that's what I'm saying. Isn't that what you said prior to the mistakes of what Mark Helfrich was and what was going on with recruiting and all those things? Is that he got fired because he wasn't performing, right, as a coach.
For sure.
They're like, all right, let's bring in Willie Taggart. And what was his history? Wasn't a top-end guy. They were going to bring in some of those guys. It was a good, nice average. It was a one and done. Get out of here.
No, but when you find the guy, they paid him. Because Chip went from making $1.8 to like $3.5 million, which, by the way, a decade ago, $3.5 million was getting you into the top 10.
Sure, but it's not now.
Highest paid coaches.
It's not now.
But we went from like making $1.8 to $3.4 in the blink of an eye, and that was private money, you know?
Are we sure it's private money? Do you have that? I just have never seen. I know that when T-Boone Pickens was at Oklahoma. He came out and said, we're funding all of this, the coaches and everything. Okay, those communications are there. We know Texas alumni have said it publicly, both on record every time. What does it take to bring Tom Herman here? They've written checks. I've never heard that from Phil Knight or any of that. Now, maybe it's on the back end or it's quiet because he's an intelligent businessman. And that could be also. But the history.
Steve Morgan ain't going to be paying that kind of coin.
No, it's got to come from the athletic department. And the athletic department's looking at it like, we don't have the revenue that the SEC and the Big Ten and the Big 12 have. Where are we supposed to come? What are we supposed to do?
If it came down to it, I think they could and would. I do.
I don't know, man.
This text says that I would hold off on paying Cristobal huge just yet. He's never put together an offense or defense in his life, and let's see what he does after losing his NFL quarterback and his entire offensive line. Let's make sure last year wasn't lightning in a bottle, sort of like Ed Orgeron at LSU.
Yep. Careful business decision. I could support that. I can understand that train of thought.
And it's you got to pay your assistants too, and he's been on board with doing that, and that is something that he has done, and they have gotten a big uptick there. And look, he knows that money will come, and if it doesn't come from Oregon, it'll come from somewhere else.
Is it disappointing this year if they lose 2 to 3 games?
Yes,
huge disappointment
in a 6-game season. Yes.
Okay,
I think three would be very disappointing. Two would not surprise me because of all the weirdness going on this year.
Yeah. Okay.
No, it wouldn't surprise me.
All right. Mm-mm. Especially if it's if one of them is in the conference championship game and it's against a USC.
If they don't make the conference championship game, is that a disappointment?
I think it would be for the fan base, yeah.
Okay.
I think
I'm asking you.
I think the fan base would definitely be disappointed in that.
No.
I wouldn't be disappointed.
Buck?
Personally?
I think they should compete for that, but like I said, this year is a wild one. I won't be surprised if they don't compete for it.
I would personally, sitting in on the outside, look, I'm, you know where my colors, but I'm also a realist. I would be very disappointed if Oregon doesn't make the Pac-12 championship. They're head and shoulders physically better than everybody right now. I would look at it and go, okay, well, you shortened season, better recruits, better facilities. Okay, you got a top end coach. I could be completely like, this would be an epic failure to me in my eyes.
This text says they got burned so bad by Willie Taggart. I think they're a little bit gun shy on the contract with Cristobal, but they will pay him big. That's from Keith in a garbage truck.
Yeah.
It could happen.
And the Willie Taggart thing, that should make them a little bit concerned. I mean, that guy, but no, it shouldn't. It shouldn't, because they're two completely different people. And I think we've known now that Cristobal's been here for 4 years now. He is not Willie Taggart, right?
Of course not.
And this one says, Mario Cristobal is cut from the same cloth as Dana Altman. He appreciates the Nike perks of coaching in Oregon, the family atmosphere of Eugene, and the relatively low cost of living in the Willamette Valley.
I can understand that, too. There's always perks for everywhere, and you can see that. Is that the stress, though, the stress of that job, the biggest stress of that job is having to always get on, and I know this might sound a little cliche here, but get on an airplane and fly, too, and have to constantly recruit and reach and get guys across the country, and the pressure of all of that all the time. You never have an off button. See, these other coaches can get in a car, and they can ride for a half hour and have tons of recruits around. People are funneling them recruits at all times. They have to sit back and go, we got to actually turn down guys. Oregon's not turning down guys. They're like, everybody, over 200 offers per year. And they're like, come on, bring it. And that kind of stress can sometimes be overwhelming.
But, I mean, there a lot of schools do offer a lot. I mean, Alabama, Clemson, LSU, they offer a ton of kids as well.
Sure, but it's a lot easier for them to offer.
Here's the thing, when you're down there, and this is a big benefit that the coaches have. Yeah, they may be able to drive 30 minutes to get to all the recruits down there. But how many people do you have to keep happy, right, in the event you have a down year? Just look at Texas. How many cooks are in that kitchen down at Texas?
Been on the message board of the Duck Fan?
I haven't. But if you go to Texas, if you go to Alabama, if you go to Florida, if you go to Florida State, if you go to Miami, if you go anywhere, there are so many people. You know how many people you have to keep happy at Oregon? Three.
You're crazy.
Phil Knight, Pat Kilkenny, and your athletic director.
The pressure of this winning.
Not even close to what it is down south.
But we're... Okay, that's a fair comment. I can agree with that. I can agree with the pressure is different. But if we live in a vacuum in the Pac-12 and you have one brand supporting you, there's one major brand on this entire coast. It is Nike and it is Oregon. They are synonymous with each other.
Right.
Expectations are to win football games against better teams away from your conference. And if you don't do that...
Away from your conference?
Yeah.
So winning outside the conference?
Correct. You have to win a big game outside your conference. If you consistently don't do that, you're not David Shaw.
Rose Bowls will do it.
You're not versus Wisconsin. That's not impressive. I mean, it's impressive at the time.
It is.
But that does not carry weight with the national pundit. Beat an Ohio State.
Wait, that's not a national pundit. It's you're talking about keeping the people that you need to happy, and winning Rose Bowls does that. Right. Winning conference championships does that.
Dusty, if logic made sense to why they put four in every year, we'd have a conference champion in every year in the Pac-12.
Well, I know.
But
I know,
logic says that optics matter. And if you beat a Big Ten team, that doesn't carry the same weight as beating an SEC team.
Hold on. That's different to who you're keeping happy. And that's a different conversation of national pundits as opposed to keeping those folks that you need to keep happy to keep your job. And winning Rose Bowls does that. Winning conference championships does that. And, you know, continuing this climb that the program's on, you don't really have to impress, 100 boosters that all are pumping in money to your program.
Your philosophy is it's easier to coach in Oregon than it is in Texas and Ohio State and other places.
In that regard, absolutely. There is an element of that. There is an element of that, of where you can focus a little bit more on what your passion is and why you got into it, which was the game of football, as opposed to glad handing with everybody else.
So you kind of prove the point of football matters more outside of this conference and outside of the region is that the more pressure you have, sometimes guys rise. Some guys rise, other coaches rise, other Tom Hermans, they get, and we step up and gone. So it's easier to coach at Oregon because less expectations. Fair?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, in that regard, of course. Yeah. 503-250-1080. And then here's where the question is, can you still win though? And that's where you got to get to it. Can you still win the national title without those expectations? World Series game two tonight. Dustin Cam on the Fan. All right, you going to buy the new Hummer for $112,000?
That was a pretty cool looking truck, I'll tell you that much. That was awesome. That was a pretty cool commercial.
All electric?
Yeah, man. That just stomped a hole in that Ford Bronco. Just said, peace out. Peace be with you.
Really?
See you. Yeah, it's electric.
You thought so?
Yeah, I'm a fan of electric. I don't need the
Well, no, it's,
the
gap. You stomped a hole? It stomped a hole in the Bronco? Why?
Right, because it's an electric vehicle, which is I'm a huge fan of. Huge. Like, I buy a Tesla tomorrow if I can fit in one. It's an off-road vehicle. It carries a lot of people. It's big. And it's environmentally friendly, and you can do anything you need, and you can pull, you can do all that stuff. It covers every basis for what you would want.
Have they figured out the old problem with the batteries though? The battery thing?
What problem is that? I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, they can't get rid of the batteries.
Who can't?
Anybody?
Nobody?
Yeah.
It's called recycling. I take them to batteries plus bulbs. I recycle.
Well, they're not 9 volts. I'm not talking about the big car batteries. It said they don't have a place for them. That's a big problem.
Is it a problem? I don't know. I thought those guys like Elon Musk are handling the battery storage and all
he
that.
He said that he was hoping to get a 1 million mile battery out there at some point, right?
Yeah.
But I don't think are we there yet? Because that
I don't know
seems to be.
I would love one of those trucks. You can't 112,000. That's insane.
You can get one of those ugly Tesla ones.
Yeah, those
they're
are
cheap.
Ugly.
They're
those
the cheapest ones.
Those are heinous looking. I can't do that.
They are really ugly. They look like some out of Mad Max. Yeah. But you have the new Hummer out. If you have $112,000 laying around,
I bet they sold out within like the waiting list. Like bam, bam.
I know a guy who's called 3 dealerships about the Bronco, and they're all sold out of those.
Sure, gas engines. Yep. Those are sweet, too. Don't get me wrong, man. Those Broncos look pretty cool. Their commercial was badass also. I just think if you can find ways to have more electric opportunity, man, I'm all in on that. I don't have to go to the damn gas station. I love that. Love it. And you can have a truck. You can pull. You can do all your stuff you need. Yeah. It's great.
I wonder what your electric bill's like, charging your car every day.
It can't be as, I don't know. We'd have to ask the Tesla people and see what to do. It depends on what your usage rates are.
Well, that's the whole thing. But you also have all those plugins. You can just go to the grocery store and plug it in there.
Yeah, the power charging stations.
Yeah.
That's the future, man.
Can you strong arm your employer into putting one in there at work?
What do you mean? Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. Does Nike have the power charging stations on the campus? They have to, right? Don't they?
I don't know. I don't park enough at Nike to know the answer to that question.
You see those Tesla's charging stations? Everywhere. Tesla's right next to us. I see them every morning.
Yeah, we got the little them and ice.
They're
right
the
next
coolest.
To each other.
They have the coolest things in those Teslas. Those Model 3s. You can play video games inside. We actually drive the video game in there. They got the fart sounds.
That doesn't seem safe.
No, it's when you sit, you have a video game. Like you use the steering wheel, like you're driving Mario Kart and stuff. There's a video game built into the screen.
Driving in real life, like you're driving Mario Kart?
You're not moving. The car's not moving.
Oh, so when it's off.
It's like a video game. It's like going to the old arcade and sitting in the car, but when the car's shut down, you can actually play a video game of you driving a video game on the screen. You got movable fart sounds, autonomous driving.
Movable fart sounds.
Oh, it's hysterical. So what you can do is like if you don't know there, you can have passengers in the back, and you can change where the speaker is, and you can be like... And then it could be like, whoa. So you can go back right fart sound person.
So it's like a high level electronic Elon Musk inspired whoopee cushion.
It's exactly what it is. It's a blast.
So many dads out there.
Ooh, is that a pun?
It's a blast.
So many dads out there going to have a great time with that. All right, World Series game two. Who do you got? Rays against the Dodgers. Blake Snell on the hill for Tampa. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to call him Ryan Gosling. For pitching for the...
That's what you're calling it.
Yep. Oh. For the Dodgers. Tony Gonsolin.
Okay.
Who do you got?
I think... I just like the Dodgers. I think that momentum game, I think that gave them the juice. I think they go two, and then the Rays get two. I think they go up two. They do that. Up two.
I'm going to go Tampa. I'm going to go Tampa. They got a dude on the hill. They got Blake Snell.
Okay.
Give me Tampa.
I thought Glasnow was going to shut him down last night, but
he looked good early.
Nope.
But I'm going to go with Tampa tonight. You mentioned it earlier, Cam, the Dave Roberts trying to get too cute with the bullpen and some of the managing and the pitching. They just didn't have one guy they liked for tonight. Right. I'm a little wary of the bullpen game for the Dodgers.
Good question. It's fair.
All right, bros. We'll see you tomorrow from 6 to 9 a.m. It'll be a Thursday edition of Dustin Cam, which means we have got our Pro Football Challenge that we need to get to tomorrow morning. Coming up 8 o'clock on Friday morning, while Brian Baldinger, radio.com NFL Insider, will join us at 8 a.m. Up next is The Herd with Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon, noon to 3, Durant Sprague, 3 to 7, primetime with Isaac and Souk. And then it's Wednesday, which means Hot Corner, Harrison Lynch from 7 to 9 p.m. Have a great Wednesday. See you Thursday right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.